Now, this true story happened in the Rwandan genocide. Six government officials went to the house of a family of Christian missionaries. These soldiers' eyes were bloodshot, their breath smelled like alcohol, and it was apparent that they had been on some drugs. They demanded weapons. They went to the father of this Christian missionary's home, and they demanded he give them his weapons. The man of the house told them that his family were Christian missionaries and didn't have any weapons. The soldiers knew that this particular Christian group did not make contributions to the army. This enraged the soldiers. And because of this, although they were from the opposing race, these soldiers were killing not only their enemies, but also those who were suspected of sympathizing with the invading army. The soldiers hit the mom and dad repeatedly with stones and bats and took the five children along with the parents into the bedroom. They took the sheets off the bed and wrapped it around the family, covering them. Some of the soldiers had grenades in their hands. Their intentions were clear. The dad asked the soldiers, however, "May we pray?" One of the soldiers strongly refused his request, vehemently, violently opposed to it. But the other soldiers agreed reluctantly to let them pray. The soldiers said, "Okay, you have 2 minutes." The family, they prayed silently. But the man's youngest daughter, who is only 6 years old, prayed out loud. She said, "God, they want to kill us. But how will we be able to make return to those people I teach with Papa? They are waiting for us to call back, and they need to know the Bible so they can be saved. I promise you that if we are spared, I will become a missionary like Papa. God, please save us." The soldiers, hearing this desperate cry to God, expressed deep, deep sympathy. And finally, one of them said, "Because of this little girl's prayer, we will not kill you. If other soldiers come here, you tell them that we have already been here and that we're going to spare your life." Coincidence? Did these soldiers' hearts just automatically change in a few moments because of a little girl's words? I think not. The violence of the heart was changed radically by the power of God through the connection to prayer. Prayer connects us to a God who can change a moment in time or a hurt in your life in a split second. As I studied for this sermon, there were many stories, stories after stories, that declared the power that God brings to us during prayer. And I'm sure if I opened up the stage this morning, many of you would have testimonies of how the power of prayer has changed your life. Power is so powerful. Remember, not because of the one praying, but because of the one answering the prayer. Now, many of us in this sanctuary might say, "I've been praying for some time now, praying hard, and it seems as if my prayers are not being answered." James might give us some insight to why prayers are not being answered. If that's you this morning, listen very carefully. If you have your copy of God's Word, please turn with me to James chapter 4 as we look at verses 1 through 3 this morning. You'll remember we are in an in-depth study, verse by verse, through the book of James. And now we have just entered into the fourth chapter. Look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Let's pray. Father, this morning, speak boldly to us, Lord. Speak directly to us about prayer. Reignite in our hearts and in our lives a motivation to take very appointed times throughout the day and ceaseless opportunities to come to you. Remind us, Lord, that you are big enough to answer any prayer at any time. Give us hearts of a praying people. May this place be a house of prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk most of this morning about the subject of prayer. I want to give you the three most common problems or mistakes that we make in our prayer life. But before I do, I didn't want to skip over this. In verse 1, in the first part of verse 2, James gives us some very good wisdom on conflict in our lives. So look at verse 1 in the first part of verse 2 again. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Now, conflicts and disputes within the body of Christ is very, very damaging. You probably have had that in your own life, and even branch out from the body of Christ. Think about your family or work relationships or whatever it might be. Disputes are always very, very damaging. And I want you to notice here, James explains, where does these conflicts come from? They come from the evil desires that are waging battle in our hearts. That's where all of our conflicts come from. They come from our desires battling within our hearts. Those desires might be the desire for more money, better possessions, more prestige, higher status within the church. Whatever it might be, all conflicts can be traced back to our own desires. All conflicts can be. And that's why they're so damaging. Now, conflict, James is saying here, comes from the inner sensual lust or pleasures that we want for ourselves in this life. That's the base root of every issue. You take two sides, and the base root is everybody wants what they want. They're not willing to budge. And that's the issue of conflict, James says. Now, this is basically what we call hedonism. Okay? The hedonist believes that the highest chief end of his life is how much pleasure can I obtain. That's the chief end of his life. How much pleasure, prosperity, freedom from pain can I experience in my life? And because of that, it produces desires that we want, and we go to battle for those desires, and it causes conflict in church and in our lives and in family. So what's the main source of conflict, what James is saying here? The main source of conflict is our own desires to have it our way so we can have as much pleasure as possible. Some brief life application here. You don't have to go to war over everything that you want. Be humble enough to give up and say, sometimes this isn't worth battling over. Now, there's times where you got to battle, but not always. We don't have to battle over everything that we want. Now time for the sermon. Here are some common mistakes that we make in prayer. We see the first one in verse 2. Number one, we simply do not ask. We do not ask God in prayer for what we need. Look at verse 2. You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Listen to this. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, there are real people in this sanctuary this morning with very, very real needs. You need a touch from God in your life. You're hurting, you're in pain, something very difficult is happening in your life at this moment. You need a touch from God. But have you ever noticed sometimes it's like God's the last person we go to? We have a health issue, we run to the doctor. We have a financial issue, we go to a CPA or financial counselor. You know, we have all these man-made solutions, which are great. They're God's blessings for us. But the first person we should consult is God. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe the reason you're not getting help in your life in places is because you're simply not praying. How much are you praying in life? Are you really asking God to help you in certain situations? For some of us, the reason we've not received help is because we've not asked. Listen to all these verses. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive, if you have faith. Or 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Or John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Or John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We have to pray to God. We have to ask Him for help in order to receive that help from Him. Now think about this. How can you be very intentional in your life to bring your request to God? Be as specific with God as possible when in prayer. Ask Him to help you specifically in certain areas. This is a principle I've put in place some time ago in my life, and I'd like to share it with you. So what I've done is, I'll take out a piece of paper. And at the top of the piece of paper, I will write, my worry list. And I'll just sit there and list all the things I'm worried about in life. And it's long. Just goes on and on and on and on and on. And this is what you do. You take a red marker, you mark out the worry, the word worry, and you put prayer. My prayer list. And you ask God specifically, God, help me in these areas. Guide me in these areas. Teach me in these areas. Bless me in these areas. Show me how to live my life in all these things. Make your prayer requests specific to God. Ask Him to help you. Let me take this just a little further for a moment, okay? Some of you have dreams and goals in your life that have not come to fruition yet. God has placed goals and dreams in each one of your life, and they might not have come to pass yet. Realize God has a specific plan and purpose for your life that He only has that you need to fulfill. Very specific to you. You were tailor-made for it. He designed you perfectly for a certain place in this life. And you might not have fulfilled that yet. You ask God specifically, God, help me to fulfill these dreams that You've placed in me. Help me to fulfill these goals that I feel like You've created me for. Whatever they are, ask God big prayers. Ask Him to help you in abundance in fulfilling goals and dreams that you might have. But be specific when you ask Him. Rick Warren once said, quote, God is a competent Father. He can handle any problem you give Him. Nothing is beyond His ability or His resources. No request is too big or too small. A woman once asked me, Rick, is it really okay for me to talk to God about the small things in my life? Shouldn't I just talk to Him about the big problems that I have? I looked at her and said, ma'am, can you imagine any problem that you would have that God would consider big? It's all small. There's nothing too big for God. It's all small stuff. Nothing is beyond His ability. He is a competent Father. Dr. Warren went on to say, I am a big dreamer. I've got a lot of big dreams in my life. I've seen God fulfill a lot of big dreams in my life. God says, I don't care how much you can dream, Rick, I can still top it. I'm bigger. I can dream bigger than you can dream. Yesterday's impossibilities are today's miracles. God specializes in the impossible. Have you come to grips in terms with that in your own life? You must ask. Whether the things you are worried about, the things that take up most of your time, or the goals and dreams that you have in your life that you've not seen fulfilled, you must come to prayer with God and ask Him, God, help me with those things. A second common mistake we make in prayer is we ask for the wrong things. Look at verse 3. We ask for the wrong things. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Sometimes in our prayer life, we just simply flat out ask for the wrong things in life. Realize your prayer life should not be full of asking God for things that you don't need. Let me give you an example. If you have a nice vehicle, it should not be filled with, "God, can you please bless me with a Ferrari?" Or whatever your dream vehicle might be. Or if you have a nice home, your prayer life should not be filled with, "God, can you just give me 1,000 square feet more in a home?" That's the wrong things to be praying for. You should not be praying for things consumed with wanting more. That is the wrong way to pray. That's praying for the wrong things. You know, I look back on my life as I was studying for this message. I even look back at something I was praying for in middle school. And it was vividly, "I am so thankful God did not answer that prayer request. It would have turned out horrible." And I'm not going to tell you what it was. But, you know, sometimes we just pray for the wrong things in life. And it's God's blessing that He answers no to those wrong prayer requests that we have. If some of you are praying prayers and they've not been answered, maybe it's the fact that you're not praying for the will of God in your life. And sometimes it's a blessing for God not to answer those things that we pray for, because God sees the bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture. But maybe your prayer requests are not being answered because you're praying according to the wrong things. C.J. Mahaney once said, quote, "I want to celebrate unanswered prayer. I want to thank God for all the prayers I've prayed sinfully motivated, that the Savior hasn't answered. I want to thank God that He is sovereign, not sentimental. I want to thank God for all the times when I've approached the Savior demanding that He do for me whatever I ask, that the Savior's response was not simply, 'You don't know what you're asking for,' but that He withheld an answer to that prayer. I am grateful to God for unanswered prayer." Here's the question, though. How do you respond to unanswered prayer? I believe how we respond to unanswered prayer normally reveals our motive and ultimately reveals the purpose of our prayers. If I have encountered someone who is bitterly declaring, "I have prayed and the Lord hasn't provided," that is usually the voice of someone who wants to use God rather than serve Him for His glory. I find unanswered prayer purifies my motive and often alters the very content of my prayer as well. Very practical advice to you. If you've been praying, no answer, maybe it could be you're praying according to the wrong things for your life. And take that as a good thing, because the wisdom of God is sifting your life to the perfect thing that He has for you. And because of that, it purifies you. Celebrate when God says no in your life. Thirdly, we ask for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we pray to God for the wrong reasons in our life. Listen to verse 3. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." Now, what about you? When you go to prayer before God, what is your prayer life filled with? Is it selfish motivations for prayer? Is it all centered around, "God, do this, don't do this, give me this, don't give me that"? Or is it, "God, lead me here, show me this, how would you want me to act, where do you want me to go?" You see, those are two very different motives for praying. How are you praying? Is your prayer life self-centered, or is it God-centered? It should be God-centered at all times, because God has the perfect wisdom for our life. It is not good to always be asking God for the wrong reasons, different things in your life. Be specific in evaluating your life this morning. What is the motivations for your prayers? Seriously, what is the motivation for your prayers? Is it self-centered or is it God-centered? Very, very important. And it's okay. It's okay to pray for a good and healthy life. We're to do that. It's okay to even pray for God's prosperity upon your life. It's okay. All those good things come from Him. But your prayer life should not be centered around your pleasures. It should be centered around God's will for your life. That is the wrong motivation for prayer. So three common mistakes we make in prayer. Sometimes we simply just do not ask. The other reason is sometimes we ask for the wrong things. And thirdly, we ask with the wrong motives. But let me give you some life application this morning, okay? I've thought about what type of life application I wanted to give. And early on this week, I talked to a man, and he looked at me and he said, "Baxter, I don't even know how to pray anymore. I don't know what to pray. I don't even know how to pray." He was hurting that bad. "I don't even know what to pray anymore." And I suspect there's a few people, more than a few people in here this morning. "I don't know what to pray. I'm almost prayed out." Let me give you some words from the pastor's heart, okay? I thought about going through a systematic theology, you know, this is how you should pray. Let me just give you from my heart. This is what I would say. If you are having a hard time this morning, even finding the words to pray, let me give you three things. Number one, pray often. Keep praying through it. If you feel like you're just at a wall and you can't break that wall, "I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray anymore." Keep praying. Keep marching forward in your prayer life. Pray often. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Be as frequent and as persistent as possible in your prayer life. Just keep going before the throne of God. Keep going there. And I realize you can pray the same way to God standing up as you can sitting down. But there's something about getting on your knees before God, just in the presence of you and God. Get before your knees and pray through those times. Just keep praying. Be persistent. Number two, pray honestly. Pray honestly. Can I tell you something you already know? There is nothing in your life that you can hide from God. Nothing. No sin, no secret, no hurt, no pain. There is nothing you can put a mask up where God can't see. Realize God sees the condition of the heart. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly the pains that you're encountering in a certain moment or situation. He knows intimately about your life. There's nothing you can hide from Him. Be honest with Him. Show Him your heart. Reveal your heart to Him with your words. You can't hold anything back from Him. Now, it doesn't tell, you're not, when you pray honestly, you're not telling God anything He doesn't know. But the fact of the matter is, once you verbalize that, you activate your faith. You activate your faith and you allow God to be in the driver's seat. God can take that situation once you verbalize that to Him. Allow Him to have full reign of different times in your life. Thirdly and lastly, pray confidently. Pray with confidence to God. Know that He is hearing you when you pray. Even when it feels like He's not, He is right there in a tuned ear to your voice. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." What a wonderful promise that the God of this universe, who holds the entire world in His hands, cares for you independently and personally, and He is always there to hear any prayer request that you have. What a wonderful promise. And those of you here this morning, you might, this entire sermon, been sitting under conviction. It's time to give my life to the Lord Jesus. It's time for me to surrender my life to Him and make Him Savior and Lord of my life. You can pray with that same confidence, and He will hear you and He will save you even in this moment. And this is how you do it. "Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner and I have failed You. I'm deeply sorry for my sin. Jesus, I'm trusting in your blood and in your death. Please forgive me of my sins and save my soul. Save my life. In Jesus' name. It's that simple. Let's stand in a moment of response. Have you done that? Have you prayed a prayer of confidence for the Lord to save you? I pray that you have. If you've been dealing with the Lord about joining this church and being a part of this faith family, I encourage you to make that decision now. You need a faith family to come around you and to support you through life and to help guide you in biblical truths. If you've been saved and you know it's time for me to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, it's time. Make that decision to follow Him in believer's baptism. Or if you just need to come and pray, I'm down front to meet you and to help you any way I can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for prayer, that we can communicate with you and we can have the confidence that you hear us in a moment's need. Father, help us to take seriously the words of James and the common problems that we make in prayer. And help us to apply these truths to our lives so we can come freely to you at any time. Lord, if you are working on the heart of anyone here who doesn't know you, God, please convict them to a point where they are ready to give their life to you in faith and repentance. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please come this morning.